Hello again, I'm Drew Wilder, and it's Your Business. We talk with Stan Sadlak from Steeplechase Advisors, LLC, every week at this time. And Stan at Steeplechase Advisors is independently owned and operated, helping business since 1976 with all kinds of business issues. And this show is whether you're a business or not a business owner, because it all affects you in the end, and whether you're a businessman or a businesswoman. Deal with taxes. Stan also helps with insurance, real estate, asset protection, business succession, even personnel problems. And you can always get in touch with Stan at 860-524-3408. And at the end of the program, we're going to tell you how you can get a free, a no-fee consultation for your business, a financial checkup, a no-fee financial checkup. Stan, how are you today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
I'm doing very well. Now, it's interesting because your name is Steeplechase Advisors. Did the name come from the fact that steeplechase with horse racing has to do with, like, obstacles that you have to overcome? Is that where the name came from?
Well, close, but no cigar.
Okay. I was so, that's why I don't buy lottery tickets.
It did come from obstacles. Has nothing to do with horse racing, although and with horses, they do run over obstacles. But in track, they do the high jumping, jumping over the obstacles. So being in business is nothing more than overcoming obstacles on a daily basis. It's what's going to happen today. And you wish it were all good news, but each day you get hit with another problem. And so I said, you know, as we undergo this metamorphosis and reinvent ourselves to try to become more than Stan Sadlak as we bring in more people, I said, you know, we need to create an organization of a team. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, what does this team do? It overcomes obstacles for businesses. And that's really how we operate. No different than, you know, the big accounting firms, mm-hmm, or the big marketing companies. They just do it for very large companies. Well, we do the same thing, but for smaller companies. So we're a hybrid between marketing organization, accounting organization. And some days I think we're psychologists and we need to have them on staff, but it's a multifaceted approach to the day-to-day problems that business face. You know, they have their accountant or they have their attorney, mm-hmm, or they have their insurance, mm-hmm, agent, but there's nobody that's really saying, okay, let's put this all together. It's up to the business owner, but he's so bombarded with obstacles on a daily basis, he's not sure if he's going to be in business in 2 years.
Interesting. And you have really a unique perspective with the experience in those areas, real estate, insurance, taxes. But after all these years, been in business since 1976, you were ST Sadlak for all those years. I mean, why now did you change?
Well, I really began the change back in the early, around 2003, 2005. I did have a financial services business, mm-hmm, and I sold that off in 2005 and decided to really focus on accounting and management consulting, which is what I really enjoyed, and also the real estate business. So that's where my focus changed back in those times. And I look back in the 90s, we had talked recently about the Whalers, mm-hmm, mm-hmm, and how I was very active in trying to keep the Whalers in Hartford. Well, I remember being on another radio station and we're doing a talk show, and a woman called up from Farmington to really chew me out. And I had said that if the Whalers leave Hartford, the rest of the culture will begin to disintegrate. And I would not be surprised if the Hartford Ballet left sooner rather than later after that occurred. And she chewed me out saying, this will never happen. You are so far out of it. You're focusing on athletics. It has nothing to do with the rest of the city. Mm-hmm. Well, needless to say, the Whalers left. The Hartford Ballet closed.
That's interesting.
Downtown is empty. All the shops are empty. It's a no man's land on the weekend. So all of these, activities are interrelated. You can't just segregate and say, okay, you know, we have the Whalers, or we have UConn basketball, or we have this particular restaurant or the hardware store. You know, there's a synergism that occurs with all these activities, mm-hmm. and there's no synergism in the cities. Why is it that Burlington, Vermont, you cannot find a parking space on a weekend? And it is so vibrant. And I can stay in a hotel room in Washington, D.C., right in Georgetown, in a beautiful Marriott for $350 a night. I go up to Burlington, Vermont, and the cheapest hotel I can find downtown is $850. Mm. I can go to Portland, Maine and stay in the Press Hotel for $1,000 a night. What's wrong here? Why are the – we're going to have to get a real estate guy in here to tell us why is the city real estate – so bad, but West Hartford is great. Glastonbury is great. Where are we going here? What's the end game? Mm. So that's kind of going a little off tangent, but they're all related.
But you need traffic. Yeah. If you get traffic, because people don't live in a bubble. If you go to a Whalers game, if there was a Whalers game today to go to, it doesn't mean that you don't like ballet or that you don't like going to a show or you don't like a symphony. So it's the same people that you got to recycle. I mean, there's a million people around in the Hartford metro, but it's not like there are 20 million people. It's not like New York City. So, I think you need traffic, and maybe that's what the Whalers leaving really did to Hartford, hurting it.
And overcoming obstacles is really an issue of being creative. I mean, if you watch these TV shows like Homestead Rescue or the Mountain Men. And you notice when they go to solve a problem, they're out there in the middle of nowhere. No one is there to help them.
Right.
And they have to fabricate a new idea. It's similar to, I'm an avid sailor. So I'm out there on the water and something goes wrong. Well,
you got to think fast.
And no one's there to help me. And I do most of my sailing in the winter. So it's kind of, it gets, you have to be resourceful.
Talk about obstacles.
That's correct.
Yeah.
I know, I get so nervous. If I'm sitting around, let's say outside on the porch, I keep saying, oh my gosh, this is too quiet.
Yeah.
What's going on?
I do the same thing. It's like, oh my God. It's like, yeah, my wife is always saying, you always have the radio on. You always have music, radio, talk stations, talk shows, podcasts. It's like, and then the silence. It's like something's wrong. But
it's funny, I can't sleep without an earphone in my ear.
That's interesting. Wow. And most people would say they can't sleep with it in their ear. But so businesses and people in general are bombarded with so many different obstacles today. And
well, the number one obstacle, the biggest obstacle, I got to interrupt you
what's
there.
What's the biggest one?
Finding people.
Right now.
It is so challenging.
They say that is the market is slowly shifting. And as they raise interest rates over the next, supposedly the next year and a half, that'll cause more unemployment, and then it will shift that there'll be easier situations in finding people.
Yeah, I'm seeing more, this idea of remote work, working from home. People hated it at first. Now they like it so much they don't want to go back to work.
So what does an employer say? It's trying to find people.
Right? And they got to make a decision. What are you going to do? You know, I look at resumes all the time that come in, and they all want to work from home, and I say no.
Yeah.
I it depends on the what they're doing for a living. If they're in sales, they can get away with that.
Yeah.
But if you're doing, accounting or manufacturing, I know so many of the companies have gone to permanently remote work. I'm just not a proponent for it because we're missing the socialization. If you look at the kids at what they went through not being in school and just working remotely, there was a whole socialization process decreasing. So I saw the same thing with firemen. Kind of a crazy analogy, but the firemen used to work a first shift or a second shift, and third shift. Mm-hmm. And then they went to working 24 hours on, 24 hours off, or 48 hours on, 48 hours off. So what happened is that when they used to work shifts, they would go out after a shift and maybe have a drink or two or hang out together. Mm-hmm. When they went 24 hours on, 24 hours off, they didn't hang around afterwards to, socialize.
Less teamwork.
Less teamwork. I really see that with whether how much teamwork is going on in a business.
Right. And the best ideas, I could just say from what I do every day, the best ideas would never have happened if I wasn't in meeting with the person that I'm talking with. It could never have happened on the phone, because phone is one step better than the internet, but they're both kind of like one-way mediums. It's not like you really get the person's facial expression. You don't get the immediate bounce backs. Sometimes it's hard to hear the other person, especially if it's on a cell phone, hard to hear the other person. So it's more of one-way communication. So what's going to happen to society and business in general if remote working still continues?
Well, you know, I have many businesses that they're no longer permitting remote work from home. I have other businesses that think it's great. And so it's a cycle that I believe we're going to go through, and each business has to figure out how it's going to adapt to that. So it, just as we have with any other traditions in our society, will go through a cycle, and we'll see where it ends up. I don't know. It's like we could have had this conversation many years ago about AM radio.
Yeah, right.
And everybody said, it's gone. Well, you know what? Here we're sitting here today, and AM radio is bigger than it's ever been.
Yeah. You're either forced to evolve or you go out of business. I mean, usually that's your two options. And they always say that the next big thing is going to put the old one out of business, right? Movies, we're going to go out of business because of TV. Well, although movies are hurting right now, but not because of TV. But yeah, it's always that next thing. When satellite radio came in, I remember, and even I was believing it. It's like, to a point I was believing it. It's like, wow, I mean, radio, now we're going to have, it's going to be a tough time here in radio. But it really wasn't. I mean, 93% of people still listen to radio.
Yeah, one of the consequences I'm seeing of the remote work is that when companies do hire people and bring them back, they are not team players. They're very isolated. They don't really interact with their bosses. Used to be, hey, boss, anything I can do over here? They just kind of sit there and are quiet. And so employers are having to more micromanage today than they perhaps did 10 years ago. The employees that are coming into their places of business need to be told what to do on a daily basis. They're not self-starters. They're not managing whatever the project they're given.
Right. Well, that's bad, because the economy really flourishes on entrepreneurship and new ideas and new businesses. And that's where they say regulations, all these regulations that have been put back in the past 2 years, is really not good for growth of the economy.
Right. And the quality of the work is not there. Yeah. I mean, you can really see how the standards have lessened. I hate to say this, but I believe I blame a lot of the parents out there.
Yeah.
They have not pushed their kids to try to excel. And instead, the kids have lowered their standards. They've talked their way out of it. It's a problem.
Well, like you said last week on the show, just the standards, we've been dumbed down. But I mean, I heard something which I'm so unaffiliated with the school system. I thought it was a joke, but I was told that schools now, public schools, they can't use red ink to tell a student that they got an answer wrong. I thought it was a joke, but they two people have told me that that's true. They can't. They don't want to offend the student. Or that they'll do the, and I forget what it's called, but if 30 students take an exam and 28 of them get below a certain area, they just bring everyone's up. they never did that in my day when I was in school.
It's a sad thing to say, but you know, if we ever go to war, are we just going to give them the keys to the country?
Yeah. Probably.
I mean, this is it's a sad thing. The kids, they're just not hardened enough.
Yeah.
They have not learned how to lose.
Yeah.
They have not learned how to recover from their mistakes. Most of the best business owners out there, most successful, have failed so many times before they succeeded.
Right. Very few people really succeed in the first venture. You got to fail to move forward. And it comes down to perseverance, which we've talked about. I mean, that's like a key trait in not just for businesses, but for people in general. People just give up. And kind of like government handing everyone money over and over and over. It kind of reminds me of parents that just give everything to their kids. The kids have no motivation.
Right. The more you persevere. Isn't it funny? The more you persevere, the luckier you get.
Yeah. Why is that?
I don't know. I have to think about it.
Yeah. Well, I think people have always said to me, part of work is just being there. Just being there. As long as you know what you're doing and you're personable, being there is half the effort and half the battle. But, I wonder if parents pampering their kids for so many years now, is remote learning? Is that part of that pampering? I mean, it's kind of nice to sit around your house in pajamas and talk to customers, but I can't imagine there's a lot of businesses in categories of business that can really pull that off. But is that part of just the pampering? It's like, yeah, you can work at home. Don't worry about it. And I'm not saying that certain professions can't do that, but like you're saying, you lose the socialization, you lose the teamwork. My experience, you lose getting the best ideas. So in the end, it's really very destructive for progressing.
Right. I mean, and there's just so many generational changes, you know, as we go from the millennials and we have the Gen Xers and what are the new ones? Are the Ys?
Yep, the Ys, the Xs, Yeah. And do these different age groups, demographics, do they really think totally differently than other demographics? I think they probably do to some degree, but not as much as people putting everything's labeled today. And we're talking with Stan Sadlack, which we do every week at this time. Stan is from Steeplechase Advisors, LLC, in Hartford, independently owned and operated, helping businesses since 1976 with taxes, real estate, insurance, asset protection, business succession, the big one, as we've talked about, personnel problems. And you can always get in touch with Stan at 860-524-3408. At the end of the show, we'll tell you also how you can get a free business, no fee, business financial checkup. 860-524-3408. So obstacles. I mean, is that like the number one thing coming, aiming at businesses to get ahead? Is all the obstacles and chaos that's going on?
Well, it's definitely a big part of it. You have to have a focused marketing strategy. You have to stay in line with your manufacturing process. For example, we'll digress. Let's say you're a service business, mm-hmm. and somebody calls up and they say, hey, I need to have a couple of my toilets replaced and mm-hmm. one of my faucets replaced. Mm-hmm. So somebody has to be able to take the information mm-hmm. and they've got to communicate it to whoever's going to go out to see them, when they're going to go see them, mm-hmm. how they're going to mm-hmm. schedule it. Mm-hmm. But how that person on the phone handles that whole conversation can keep or lose that customer.
Just the words you say and how you say it. And when you say, I mean, when you help businesses go through all the obstacles and chaos, I'm thinking organization and organizational skills to me is like right up there. Is that an area that you can help a business with? If you're not organized, can you become organized?
Or you have to bring in somebody to help you stay organized.
Okay, there you go.
You know, there is a good executive assistant will get you organized, will keep you focused. You know, you have so many items coming across your desk that sometimes they need to give you the space to deal with an issue. You know, for example, somebody will come in and say, hey, listen, I got to get this work done. So I don't want to take any phone calls for the next 3 hours. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Well, if the person is putting through phone calls during those 3 hours, they're not going to get the work done. So sometimes it's better not to take the phone calls for 3 hours, but let somebody be able to weed them out because something might be important. And then at the end of those 3 hours, you return the phone calls. You don't ignore them, but the person answering the phone needs to be coached on what to say, when to say, how to say it. And what's very important is customer service. If you have somebody who's upset about something, you need to listen. Whoever's answering the phone needs to listen. And if, and, for example, I was supposed to have my furnace cleaned this morning at 7:30. So at 8 o'clock, I called up and I kind of said, well, is somebody coming out to do my furnace? And they said, no. I said, they said, you're scheduled for November 16th. I said, wait, what's going on here? She said, well, we didn't hear from you, so we rescheduled. I said, well, I got a text alert that I replied yes to. And you, she said, well, we left you a number of messages on your home phone. And I said, well, you're supposed to use my cell phone. That way I always get the messages. Yeah. Anyway, so she said, well, we just rescheduled it. And I said, well, I did reply yes, but it is how she would handle it with me. You don't want to get into a fight with me, whether I got it or not.
Right. She put you on the defensive as a customer.
Yeah. You know, how do you reschedule it? How do you keep them happy? Right. Are you arrogant? Are you conciliatory remarks? So it's a balance, and a business needs a person like that. I call it the schmoozer. Mm-hmm. Every business needs one to kind of people get frustrated. I've never seen people so angry as they are today. Brothers fighting with brothers. We're having kids steal businesses from their parents.
Yeah, we talked about that one.
Right. Yeah.
Talked about that one. And then talked about the show we did. We discussed the fact that now I lost my train of thought. You said something that I was trying to think of an analogy of something that we had. Oh, about the restaurant, about customer service. In the restaurant, the guy had the horrible meal and was going to walk out. I'll never come back here again. And they gave the guy the free meal for the next time. They didn't really listen to what his concerns were. So they gave him a free meal. He said he'd never come back. That's not what he wanted to hear. So, yeah, it's I guess the organization would be, and we talk about how you help with Steeplechase Advisors with insurance and real estate and taxes, business succession, but you also can help businesses with organization, just having someone take the phones for 3 hours and give them that idea. That's something I really didn't think of.
Yeah, you have to, you know, you have to look at that particular business and dissect it as far as what kind of business it is and who the customers are and how you handle those customers. And if you're not sensitive to each of those, if you think you have all the answers to each of those areas, you're not going to get there.
Right. You can't have preconceived notions.
No. And you have to evolve with the times. You know, we've talked about over the years how different businesses have evolved. Mm-hmm. And you talked about the car dealerships. Well, you know, they're evolving again. They're going through a metamorphosis between, you know, almost all becoming used car businesses.
Yeah.
You know, maintaining mechanical parts of the business. And the electrical aspects of the business. So it's a very challenging time. And a lot of the small guys are getting gobbled up. And I don't think that's healthy. So we don't want to have the Walmartization of the car industry. But
definitely. It's going in that direction. Just maybe not necessarily just the car industry, but everything. The car dealer I was talking about in Waterbury that just got sold. It was gobbled up by another big conglomerate that owns many different dealerships. So, and I always say everything's always unimaginable until it happens. And we seem to live in a very reactive society. Government never addresses problems until they happen. And then everyone's all alarmed and they deal with that problem, but never critical thinking. But you always say, Stan, never think about what could happen before it happens.
And that's the hard part of trying to figure out what's going. For example, if you sit and you're driving your car and you say, what's going to be the next big area? You know, I was fortunate enough to be around people who had talked to me about the bagel industry before bagels became a big thing. So it's always wondering what's going to be the next big area. Right. So we know what the next major sport is from one of our previous guests. Remember what he said?
What did he say?
Of the future is pickleball.
Pickleball, right. Pickleball is huge. They're building courts all over the towns. West Hartford has new pickleball courts. And yeah. I wonder, and that's probably also because people are getting older and they can't move as, they don't want to move as fast. So tennis is a worse alternative.
Remember, everyone, you heard it here first. Pickleball.
Pickleball.
Okay. On a lighter note, Drew, so let me ask you a question. What was the last episode to be broadcast of what series in black and white?
Huh, let's see. It was probably like 1966, 65.
Yeah, around there. What was the last show ever broadcast in black and
white? McHale's Navy.
Close. I'll give you one more try. You'll know it.
Mr. Ed.
No. We'll try one more or you give
up? Okay. Wasn't there a show, My Mother, the Car, or something like that?
No. I Dream of Jeannie.
Really? That was the last one. That was one of my favorite shows.
With Barbara Eden and Larry Hagman.
Used Your Imagination, that show. Ah, interesting. That was the last show in black and white.
That's correct.
There you go. And if you thought of that and you got that right, you win our undying gratitude. Stan, this one, they always go so fast, but thanks so much for joining us. You can always get in touch with Stan Sadlak at Steeplechase Advisors, LLC, independently owned and operated in Hartford, Connecticut. So they're local. And you can always get in touch with Stan dealing with business issues, taxes, insurance, real estate, business succession, personnel problems. How do people get in touch with you again, Stan?
Just give me a call, 860-524-3408.
And you're offering, what, the first three callers a no-fee financial checkup?
Sure, I'd be happy to talk to them and take a quick snapshot.
Give Stan a call. He definitely could be a great resource for you, and there's no charge. The only charge is we're talking about obstacles and horses would be the horses going out of the stable. 860-524-3408. That's 860-524-3408 for Stan Sadlak at Steeplechase Advisors. I'm Drew Wilder. Thanks so much for listening, and you can hear It's Your Business, because it is. And you can hear it every week at this exact time. Have a great rest of the weekend, and thanks again for listening.